Joseph's Mission Residential School, just 12 miles southeast of Williams Lake, British Columbia, operated for 90 years from 1891 until 1981. Our reserve, the Sugarcane Reserve or the Williams Lake Indian Reserve, is located between Williams Lake and the St. Joseph's Mission. It's 4 miles from us. Almost every kid from our reserve attended the St. Joseph's Mission from 1891 until 1981. My grandmother, Clotilde Tillian Thomas, went to the St. Joseph's Mission Residential School. She was a residential school survivor. She was born in 1907, and she went there to the school, I think, 4 years. She tells some of her stories about being at the residential school. This is what she said.
I think Mission was the first schoolhouse around here. And in 1885. I don't know who built it, but the workers, Becky, horseback, and then the bones used to take me to the mission. Then I slept, then I was home from the 15th of August to the 1st of September. That was about 2 weeks' holiday.
She even ran away from the mission, which is something that I was too chicken to even do. Good for her.
When I ran away from the mission, by the Maya, we got that named Ginny the Bash. We ran away in the afternoon, and we wanted to swear it's a yellow lake and we could catch it. Just crossing the creek and we could catch it. We had to come back. She didn't pick us up, but we come back. When we got home, we got licked. We ran away from the mission because sister was getting mad at us and calling us red skins and everything. So I got mad and ran away because she called us red skins. I don't know.
It seems that one thing was the same throughout all the years of the residential school, and that was that separation of boys and girls, brothers and sisters. And brothers couldn't talk to their sisters, and sisters couldn't talk to their brothers, you know, without getting into trouble. Just listen to my grandmother.
Boys on one side, the girls on one side. You couldn't even go close and talk to them boys. If you could get stuck into the boys, and if the boys could get stuck into some girls, you could punish, you got a whipping. The boys had their own convent down there, and the girls' convent up here. And go there. And when we used to go to the dining room, we go through a hall. We don't go through open.
My grandmother passed away in 2007. She was 100 years old. She seemed to have forgiven the residential school for all that it did to her. Hazel Alexis Soitz was a member of our band, and she was a residential school survivor. Hazel was a very religious person on our reserve. She knew all her prayers and songs in English and in our native Tsleil-Waututh language.
Oh,
I asked my friend Chris about his experience at the residential school. He was happy to have me record some of his stories and experiences he had over there. And I asked him how many years he had spent over there and generally what was his feeling about the whole experience. And so he told me, you know, how he had ended up being at the residential school. This is what he said.
Well, my experience, if I had to describe it, wasn't a very good experience. There are some things there that, you know, that I thought was okay, but overall, it wasn't an experience that I'd want my kids to ever experience, because right from day one, you know, you talk about apprehension. I was one of the, my brother and I were, you know, a couple of boys that were apprehended. You know, you didn't think it would happen in that day and age, but it actually happened to us. I went over to, or both I, my brother and I, went over to visit our cousins over at the mission, you know, just to go and play with them on a weekend kind of thing. And when we showed up there, one of the brothers come outside and seen us there, and it says, "Oh, Wycott boys." So from there, he just says, "You got to come with me." And we went, and he told us what was going to happen, that we had to stay there. And, you know, I, you know, pretty confused as to why he would say that. So I remember saying that, well, I want to talk to my mom and dad first. And he says, "No, you got to come with us." And that was the end of it. And we ended up staying there for that time period. I was there for till 63. And I also, you know, the hard part of it was that my mom and dad didn't show up to visit us for about 6 months after we got there. And I always wondered why. And that, I carried that for years, you know, even into my early 20s. I was still upset and angry at my mom and dad for, you know, allowing that to happen. But I don't know exactly what transpired for us to be put into the residential school at that time. But I know when I questioned them about, you know, them caring about us or whatever, they just said that, well, when they did go there, the priest had gone to see them and told them that they shouldn't come over and visit us because it would just upset us. So 6 months later, so when we finally seen our parents again, and then, you know, I remember, you know, watching out the window of our dormitory, just waiting to see my mom and dad's car come over this one hill to come over and visit us all that time, and that never happened. So really, I think I developed the feeling of abandonment. Parents didn't care, and I don't know, it developed a lot of anger in me anyway, and I just, you know, didn't have much respect for my parents after that. And I think it really showed with the relationship between my mom and dad and my, you know, years after that, even into my adulthood, I think. So that was the reason. And I did remember when they did come over and visit us at that time. Their visitation was in what you call a parlor. And they came in to visit us, and there was a nun in that same room that sat there like they were, you know, it was one of those supervised visits. And, you know, I felt really uncomfortable in that situation, so I just couldn't really interact with my parents, and I just felt out of place. So, and the visit seemed to be really short. I think my parents were uncomfortable with that setup, so, you know, there wasn't much to talk about or anything. There was, you know, usually when you see your kids, you give them a hug and all that kind of stuff. That never happened, and, you know, it just added to that feeling of disconnection. I guess that's the rough beginning of my disconnection between my parents and myself, and I carried that all the way into my adulthood, you know, where I can't really hug or, you know, show affection to anybody, you know. Something learned from that. Hey, hi, 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 hi.
I spoke with Sally. She is a residential school survivor. She went to the St. Joseph's Mission Residential School for 10 years, she says, from 1947. And this is what she had to say. About going to school at the residential school, was it good or bad, or do you have different...
There was some good times, because we made lots of friends, and then there were some bad times. Mm-hmm. I had lots of bad times there as a child, because this one nun didn't like me. Because I was a favorite with one of the fathers.
Oh yeah.
And so every chance she could, she took it out on me.
And with the strap or what? Or
she used to grab me by the hair and swing me around, throw me onto the bench.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. So her name was Sister Loretta, I don't know, she just had it against me. And every chance she could, she was always after me. Mm-hmm. Like if I didn't want to play baseball, she'd come behind me with a switch from Willow and hit me in the back of the legs and make me run around the bases, because mm-hmm. I didn't want to play baseball because my leg used to hurt. And it was one of the bad times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you went over? You must have been about 6 years old.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you...
I cried all the way over there, and I couldn't figure out how come my mom and dad were taking me over there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left, I cried more. I wanted to go home with them because I didn't understand why they were taking me over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that night, I wasn't the only girl crying. There was lots of girls crying in there.
Yeah.
Oh, you could hear all these little girls crying, and it made you cry more, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the same with us and the boys, mm-hmm. junior dorm.
Yeah.
One would start and...
Yeah, I know. There's one little girl that used to always cry every night, and then all the other girls would start crying because they heard her crying. And she was, I think she was younger than the rest of us, you know. Yeah. And then they used to make us, we were very young, and they used to make us go to church in the morning. They'd get us up 4 o'clock in the morning to go to church at 5, and we'd kneel there for about hour, 2 hours. And it was all in Latin, and we didn't know what the heck they were talking about, so, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to share this one experience with this one girl. She was, I forget where she was from, I won't name names or anything. Mm-hmm. She wanted to go to the bathroom. She got up and she asked one of the nuns if she could go to the bathroom. And the nun told her, no, you can't. So she went back and she sat down and she wet herself. And I really felt so sorry for her. I cried because I was ashamed for her too. I felt for her because I felt that she was, I don't know how you say it, shamed or whatever. And I just felt so sorry for her. I cried for her.
Sort of ridicule?
Yeah, it was like, it really shamed her, and she had her head down and she just cried and cried, and they were telling her to be quiet and be quiet.
Mm.
But everybody, even the boys on the boys' side saw it.
Hmm.
And they were snickering and everything, and I thought that wasn't very nice of them, you know. But it wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the one things I never forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about it. It was one of the things. And at night time when you went to bed, you were allowed to go to the bathroom once.
Hmm.
And they had older girls supervising while the nuns went to bed. And if an older girl didn't like you, they wouldn't let you sneak to the bathroom.
Hmm.
They'd make you go. They only had one bathroom in the dorm. And if they didn't like you, they'd make you walk all the way down the hallway. In that big hallway, it felt big to me when I was little, and hmm. go right outside through the... past the church, go to the girls' hall, play hall, and go outside. And we had to go outside to go to the bathroom if they didn't like you.
Hmm.
If he liked you, you could use the bathroom there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's how we were.
Did they have the girls split up into three groups, like seniors, intermediates, and the juniors?
And it seems like the juniors and the seniors, the juniors and the intermediates always got it from the older girls.
Yeah.
They were always, you know, like if you got an orange or an apple, and we very rarely got anything like that, and if we got it, the older girls would take it on us and eat it on us. It was just the way it was, I guess.
Yeah.
Roberta went to the St. Joseph's Mission Residential School starting in 1949 and stayed there until 1959. For 3 years after that, she went to the Kamloops Indian Residential School. This is her story.
Go over there, or you wanted to go over there, or you don't recall?
I think it was, I don't know the exact word, like ingrained, because our older sisters and brothers went before us.
And it was just your turn?
Just because they went, we knew we were going sooner or later.
Mm.
Like Charlie was just ahead of us, right?
Oh, yeah. Lloydie would have been...
He went the same time as I did.
Oh, okay.
You see, you're a couple of years older than me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we expected it, right? And people were always talking about it, so we knew we were going.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, not till I got over there, right?
Yeah.
Not till I was right in there, then I was crying my pillow and my stuff like that, right?
You really missed
it. Because I knew I was there and I'm not going home. Well, the ones that went there before, you know, they never came home. They weren't, never said bad things about it, so didn't mind that part.
Yeah. How's your memory of the residential school overall?
I didn't like it.
Were you treated mean over there, or abused in any way, or what didn't you like most?
Actually, I don't like talking about it, and I don't want to dwell on it here. I was sexually abused there.
Yeah. You didn't have to if you don't want to, but...
It wrecked my whole rest of my school years there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to be there.
Yeah. How about physical abuse? Were you treated mean or bad by nuns or priests or brothers or anything? Or older kids?
Yes, I got older, I didn't want to be there, so I guess I rebelled and I wasn't always doing good things.
Mm.
You know, and then you get caught and get punished, right?
Yeah.
We get caught, maybe caught so many times, and they used to have parties down. I don't know what else to call it, parties. Down at the boys' recreation room, down at the priest's house, the old recreation room, the boys. They had a big rec room there, they used to have dances in there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you did something bad, or that's what they considered bad, then you didn't get to go to the dance.
Yeah.
And they had snacks there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were bad, then you got sent to bed, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times I remember being in the dormitory, and maybe I'd be there by myself.
Yeah.
At the girls' dormitory, which was in the old building where I went.
The one you called the convent?
The old convent.
Yeah.
My older sister Agnes was there. She might have been there 1 year or something like that. But then she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it mattered, you know. They had what they call cliques there.
Yeah.
Which you were either a part of or you weren't a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You were considered a part of a clique, then, you know, you were in.
You were okay.
Also talked about punishments that they had to endure while at the residential school.
He did something what they considered really bad. I remember them, some of the girls had they'd pull their pants down in front of the rest of us and whip them on their bare asses, you know, to make them bend over and
mm-hmm.
let everybody see their bottoms, and whipping them with a strap like that, I think of it today, and it's, what do you call it, humiliating, that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's, but they got, the girls got so they, like you didn't give a shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd get strapped, and they'd come out of it, and they'd be kind of giggling, probably giggling about it.
Yeah.
And they'd probably, you know, more or less probably nervous laugh or trying to show them other kids to be tough or
yeah.
whatever. But I think of it today and, you know, can you imagine doing that today? To these kids around here, can you imagine pulling their pants down, put their bare bums in front of everybody? Some people do it, but I can't imagine doing it.
Some kids used to run away from the mission. Did you ever run away when you were over there?
No, we used to go all over that hillside there. And I always thought about going home, but I never.
You probably know some that did run away, though, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What did they do with them when they got back, got brought back?
Yeah, well, some of them, you know, they probably got tired of them doing it, so they'd cut off their hair, the girls, and then the girls would be going around with a scarf on, you know, to hide their bald heads.
Mm-hmm.
That's another humiliating thing I couldn't imagine doing. I don't know how they felt. I wouldn't want to be going around with my hair cut off.
Yeah.
But I know they did that, and getting whipped on their bare bottoms, you know. And especially if you're older, you know, the older girls, I can't imagine the feeling, you know. They would tell you better than I could. But I know they did that. Yeah, it was bad for some kids. I know I was when I went there, I was a bedwetter, and what they used to do with us, and sometimes they'd get to wear those wet sheets, you know, in front of everybody, and I don't remember if we had to wash it ourselves or stuff. I was small, I don't remember much. I guess I chose not to remember a lot of stuff. Probably didn't want to, I don't know.